Welcome to my intranet tutorial sample. The sample consists of excerpts from a number of sections of the tutorial, and by listening to it, you may learn a number of things you didn't know. You will also be able to evaluate whether you like the way I teach, and specifically whether you like the way I teach the intranet. For information about purchasing the tutorial, or if you have further questions, write to me at the following email address. GS as in Sam, AS as in Sam, N as in Nancy, ER, at ripco, R-I-P as in Peter, C-O, .com. Again, GSASNER, at ripco, .com. I'll give this information again at the end of the sample. In this tutorial, you may hear from time to time me mentioning that you should load a web page or do something with a web page. I provide sample web pages with the tutorial for practice and demonstration purposes. You load them when you want to see what I'm talking about or practice what I've described. Later in the tutorial, we go online and work directly with pages you load from the internet itself. And now on to the first excerpt of the tutorial. The first excerpt is an explanation of working with the WindowEyes homepage. I describe the structure of the page. I show how this information is generalizable to other web pages. And I discuss certain navigation techniques that you can apply to other web pages also. If you haven't loaded the web page into the browser yet, do so now, because we're going to start working with the page. I'm going to start from the top of the page. I'll be using JAWS. And I'm going to down arrow about 10 times, and you'll hear what I hear. I'm going to demonstrate to you what you hear as you move down this page for many lines. Then I'll return to the top of the page and go through some of the page again and explain to you things that you likely won't understand when you hear them the first time, and I'll show you how to make sense of them by using word processor navigation commands. I'm going to make sure I'm at the top of the page by using Control Home, the same command you use in a word processor to move to the top of a page, and then I'm going to start down arrowing. I'm using JAWS for this part of the demonstration. I'll demonstrate the same thing again using WindowEyes, and you'll see that you hear almost exactly the same thing with both screen readers. You'll hear me move to the top of the page, then I'll start down arrowing. And when I do, you hear this.
Welcome to GW Micro Inc. Link skip to main content. Blank. 725 Airport North Office Park Bullet Fort Wayne and 46825 Bullet PH 260489-3671 Bullet FX 260489-2608 Bullet Hours MF 8A5P EST. Blank. Link home on mouse over. Link catalog on mouse over. Link our products on mouse over. Link demo on mouse over. Link events on mouse over. Link support on mouse over. Link training on mouse over. Link dealers on mouse over. Link voice of vision on mouse over. Graphic computer man image. Blank. Heading level 1, welcome to GW Micro.
Now I'm going to move to the top of the page again.
Welcome to GW Micro Inc.
And you heard, welcome to GW Micro Inc. I'm going to read the same thing with a title bar.
Title is welcome to GW Micro Inc. Microsoft Internet Explorer.
I just read the title bar with insert T, and you'll notice that it said the same thing. JAWS has a feature where when you move to the top of the page, it reads the title of the web page. It reads the same thing that appears in the title bar. This text really isn't present in the window where the main part of the web page appears. JAWS is really reading the title bar. It does this as a convenience feature. You can left and right arrow through it, or you can move by word. But since it's really reading the title bar, and this doesn't appear in the main document window, I call it the phantom title. Let's down arrow and see what else is on the page.
Link skip to main content.
This link, Skip to Main Content, is a kind of link that you'll see on many sites that have a lot of blind people who use the site. The purpose of the link is to allow your screen reader to skip the navigation links and move to the main part of the web page. However, these links are often not reliable. You can try using them if you want, but they often won't work well. Let's continue to move down the page.
Blank.
A blank line.
725 Airport North Office Park Bullet Fort Wayne and 46,800.
This is contact information. Many websites have a little bit of text near the top of the page or at the top of the page before the navigation links begin. In this case, it's contact information. This is going to be difficult to understand unless you break it down and see what the different items mean. So let's do that. I'm going to use home to move to the beginning of this line, and we're going to go through this line now, mostly word by word. I'm going to be using control right arrow to move word by word, exactly the same command that you would use whenever you're working with a word processor document or in a standard Windows edit field. So let's read the first word, the current word, after we use home to get to the beginning of the line, which in this case is a number.
725. Airport. North. Office. Park. Bullet.
That's the street address. Then there's a bullet, which is used in this line to separate items.
Fort. Wayne, comma, Inn.
In this case, the bullet separated the street address from the city and state part of the address. I'm going to skip the rest of the demonstration of how you look at contact information for this sample, and we shall now continue listening where we look down the page beyond that contact information. Let's continue to move down the page.
Blank. Visited link home on mouse over.
My screen reader said, visited link home, and then it said on mouse over. First of all, your screen reader will identify a link when you come to a link. It will say the word link either before the text that's a link or immediately after the text that's a link. It depends how your screen reader is set and what the defaults are for your screen reader if you're using the defaults. And it doesn't matter how many links are actually on the line that you're looking at, the decided person would see on the web page. Your screen reader puts each link on its own line. If there's a line with 3 or 4 or 5 links, your screen reader will show each of those links on its own line. So as you down arrow, you'll see one link at a time and only one. In this case, the screen reader didn't say just the word link, it said visited link. It said visited link home, so the word home is the link. Why did it say visited link? When you follow a link, Internet Explorer remembers that and it displays that link in a different color. Your screen reader will identify such links as visited links. Obviously, in the past, I've gone to the GW Micro homepage, so my screen reader reads that as a visited link. We're on the home page now, and we're at the very beginning of the navigation links. Home is the first one. So why is home one of the navigation links, since I'm already on the home page? The reason is that navigation links are repeated identically from one web page to another web page on the same site. A web designer wouldn't design every web page just leaving out the link for that page. They'd have to redesign the navigation links for every page to do that. So what they do is they display the same navigation links on every page. So even if you're on the home page, home will be shown as one of the navigation links. If you follow a link that's in the navigation links to somewhere else, for example, let's say that you're on the home page and there's a link that says editorials and it's in the navigation links. If you follow that link, then on the editorial page, if you're looking through the navigation links again, you'll see the link editorials. A lot of blind people get confused about that. They may follow a link and see the same link on the page that they've arrived at. Then they start to wonder if a new page loaded at all, or if they're still on the page where they were before, if something went wrong, and if they didn't move anywhere. But all that worry and frustration is for naught, because the new page has loaded. The reason they keep seeing the same link is because they keep looking through the navigation links and see the same links over and over again. Now we move to the next excerpt from this tutorial, a discussion of the find command. Now let's consider the use of the find command in both screen readers. The find command is a very underused, undertaught, and underappreciated command among blind internet users. Of course, you can use the find command as you would if you were in a word processor to find text, but it has many more important uses when you're working with the internet. I'll demonstrate one of the ways you can use it now. Let's say you regularly go to a newspaper site and you want to read the editorials. Let's further say that on the home page and on a lot of other pages, there's a navigation link that says editorials. You can use the find command to move immediately to that link. You don't have to tab through link after link until you find it. You can move there right away. You don't even have to type the whole word. In most cases, just typing the first 4 letters of a word will move you to the word on the first time that you conduct the search. You may have to repeat the search sometimes, but a lot of the time you'll get there the first time. In JAWS, the find command is Control F. In WindowEyes, the find command is Control Shift F. It's very important to remember that. If you're a WindowEyes user and you use Control F, a find dialog will come up, but it won't be the right one. And whenever you use the wrong find dialog, if you're using WindowEyes with Internet Explorer, you'll get a not found message. So you must use Control Shift F if you're a WindowEyes user. To repeat a search, in JAWS, the command is Function Key 3, F3. In WindowEyes, the command is Insert F. You can either use the insert on the main keyboard or the numpad insert. Wherever you are on the web page is where the search will begin, and it will move down the page from where you are. If you're in the middle of the page, search will begin where you are in the middle of the page and look down the page. If you're at the top, it will search from the top. So if you're searching for something and you can't find it, and you know or strongly suspect that what you're searching for is going to be somewhere on the page, go back to the top of the page and search from there. Here is an example of how useful the search command can be. Let's say that you've decided that you want to download a demo of the WindowEyes screen reader. You know because someone has told you, or you simply expect because you know that that's how these things are done, that there will be a demo available for download on the WindowEyes website. So you're on the home page and you want to find the link to download the demo. Let's say that you've never looked at the WindowEyes site before and you want to find the demo link. You don't have to start looking through the entire web page, tabbing from link to link or letting the page read. Use the find command and search for the word demo. I'm going to demonstrate this with WindowEyes now. I'm going to start at the top of the page, do a search for the word demo, and then repeat the search and listen to all the times the word demo occurs on the web page. If you were doing this yourself, you wouldn't have to keep repeating it because you'll find a link almost at the top of the page that says demo, and you could follow that link and get to a page about downloading the demo version of WindowEyes. But I want you to hear the repeat search command so you'll know how it sounds as you use it and to emphasize how useful the search feature is. I'm going to demonstrate this with WindowEyes. You'll hear WindowEyes say top. I'm going to move to the top of the page to make sure I'm beginning the search from the top. Then you'll hear WindowEyes say combo edit box when I use Control Shift F to open the find dialog. I will then type the word demo and press enter. You'll then hear WindowEyes find and read the first line on the page from the top that contains the word demo. Then I will repeat the search using the repeat search command, insert F in WindowEyes, until I get to a point where the word demo no longer occurs on the page, and at that point you'll hear a not found message.
Top. Combo. Edit box. D-E-M-O. Found. Visited link demo. Found. Visited link download to WindowEyes 4.5 demo. Found. Visited link demo. Not found.
I'll be demonstrating the find command repeatedly as the tutorial continues to show you how useful it is to find information on web pages. And that concludes that excerpt. One note about that excerpt. If you go to the current WindowEyes page, you may not see some of the things that I discuss when I'm demonstrating using the old WindowEyes page. I don't just use old pages because I'm too lazy to get the new ones. I use old pages most of the time because there's something about the older versions of the pages that make them far better for teaching certain aspects of internet use than the new versions. You can apply what I teach you anywhere, but the old pages often have certain characteristics or certain ways that things are laid out which make them more effective as teaching aids. And as I said, I supply the same version of the page that I use for demonstrating with the tutorial, so you can load the same page that I'm working with, even though it's an older page, and do exactly what I do. The next excerpt deals with an explanation of what unlabeled links are and how to work with them. Let's open the New York Times homepage. Go back to the list of files that I provided with this tutorial and look for the file that says the New York Times homepage.htm or just the New York Times homepage. Remember, you don't want to open the folder that says the New York Times homepage files. This is an older version of the page, and you'll see some differences when you look at the new version of the page. One of the ones you'll notice is that there is no editorials link anymore. Now, editorials, op-ed pieces, and letters are found by following the link that says Opinion. As before, I'm using an older version of a page because I can teach a very important concept with it that I can't teach with the new version. This page is very good for demonstrating what unlabeled links are and how to work with them. Now that you've opened the page, your screen reader will tell you something like that the page has 224 links, and it may tell you how many headings are on the page and that sort of thing. Don't be intimidated by the number of links on the page. That gives you an idea that it's a long page with a lot of links, but once you understand how this page is organized and how to use it, the number of links won't be a problem. In general, when you use web pages, use such things as the indication of the number of links on a page to give you some idea of how long the page is, and if this page is going to lead much to other pages or just be mainly the content on that page with few links, but don't be intimidated if you see a page with a lot of links. You also may want to pay attention to how many headings are on a page, if there are any. If you're on a long web page and there are only two or three headings, then that's an indication that movement by headings may not be very useful on this page. If you're on a page that has a good many headings, then movement by headings may be more useful. You can't draw any definite conclusions about this sort of thing, but these are indicators that may be of some use at times. I'm going to start demonstrating this page using JAWS. However, WindowEyes users will learn a good deal from listening to this demonstration, so don't skip this part. This part is going to be almost equally useful for users of either screen reader. The reason I'm going to begin demonstrating this page by using JAWS is because JAWS displays a few items at the top of the page that WindowEyes doesn't display. At times, not often, but at times, one screen reader will display something on a page that another screen reader won't. It generally doesn't affect whether you can use the page, and it doesn't affect that here either. However, this is a very good opportunity to introduce you to the concept of unlabeled links. So far, the links that we've been using, that we've been reading and tabbing through, etc., have been properly labeled links. They're links that have text written as text that your screen reader can read. Some links are images of one sort or another, and the text in the link that a sighted person sees, if there is any text there, sometimes a link might just be a picture, will be a picture of text, and your screen reader can't read pictures. A properly designed web page for accessibility will have what's called alt text, for alternate text, where links occur that are images. If a link is real text, of course, alt text isn't needed. A sighted person wouldn't see this alt text, but a blind person's screen reader can read it. If alt text isn't used on a link with an image, your screen reader will read some sort of code from the link. This may be some sort of name a web designer gave the link, or it may be some code from the link that tells the browser what to do. Just because a page doesn't have a properly labeled link or links on part of the page doesn't mean that a blind person can't use these links. A blind person can often figure out what the links mean. Often the code that you can read will contain information that will allow you to figure out what the link is. Let's look at the top of the page using JAWS and listen to these unlabeled links and see how we can figure out what many of them are. I'm going to start at the top of the page. You'll hear the phantom title. Then I'm going to start down arrowing, and you'll hear some unlabeled links.
The New York Times on the web. Image map link Asaya tab. Image map link Europe tab. Image map link Us tab. Image map link index 1. Image map link index 2. Image map link index 3. Image map link index 4. Link graphic add 82,646 to dog na loop.
Now let's go back and listen to the first unlabeled link again and see what we can learn. The first unlabeled link says
image map link Asaya tab.
Image map link Asaya tab. Image, the first word that you hear, tells you that there's some sort of picture as part or all of this link. It may well be that a sighted person would see nothing but an image for this link. A map isn't a map as you would think of it, as something displaying a country or a region. Usually when you see something defined as a map on an internet site, it means that it shows you where different items are on the website. On many websites, you'll see something called a use map, which your screen reader will read as use map, U-S-E-M-A-P. It's written as a compound word. Your screen reader doesn't know how that should be read, so it says use map. And if you follow that link, you'll usually get to a page that shows the links to all the main sections of the website. After the word map in this link, we hear a Asaya tab. If we spell that, we find that it's spelled A-S-I-A-T-A-B. I don't know why tab is part of the code, but the important thing to know or to notice is that A-S-I-A is the word Asia. So, to put it all together, we have image, map, link, Asaya tab. Image tells us there's some sort of picture. Map tells us it's something telling us where things are on a part of the website. Asaya is Asia. So, this link should take you to a part of the website where you can see links that pertain to news about Asia. Remember the context. We're on a newspaper site. And so it makes sense that a newspaper site might have links like this that will bring up a page showing news stories for a certain part of the world. The next link says
Image Map Link Europe tab.
That's obvious now that I've laid the context out for you. We don't even have to spell that. That's obviously a map with links to stories about Europe. Next.
Image Map Link Us tab.
Image Map Link Us tab. Now, if we spelled that, which you're welcome to try, you would see that that is U.S. and then the word tab, all written together. As I said, I don't know why tab is used for all of these improperly labeled links. However, the important thing to pay attention to is U.S. That's United States. So obviously, this link will take you to a part of the website that deals with stories about the United States. So you see how much sense these links make when you figure them out and think about them and spell them if necessary? As I said, many such links can be figured out. You may have to spell them, you may be able to figure them out without spelling them. It depends. But now we get into links, there are four of them, which can't be figured out. What are they?
Image Map Link Index 1, Image Map Link Index 2, Image Map Link Index 3, Image Map Link Index 4.
Well, as you heard, these are image maps, but also they are labeled as being indexes of some sort. That doesn't tell us anything. Index 1, Index 2, Index 3, and Index 4. If you wanted to know what these links are, you could follow the links and find out. On a reputable site, you should be able to follow links without worrying about security problems such as malicious code on web pages. If you don't know if a site is reputable, you may want to be more careful about following these kind of links. On pages that you're not sure about, how much care you want to take may also be determined by how good the security is on your computer, how good your anti-spyware programs are and antivirus programs, that sort of thing. However, there's so much repetition on websites, especially on the home pages of websites, that these sorts of links are likely either not to matter or you're likely to see duplicates of the same link that are readable farther down the page, which will take you to the same place. If you can't find what you want on a web page, then you may want to come back and experiment with the index links or other links that you can't figure out. And that concludes that excerpt. The next excerpt deals with patterns you will see on many web pages that make finding something very easy if you know what you're looking for. And remember these patterns. In the excerpt you're about to hear, I also say that I'm going to discuss what I call markers. However, I won't include the discussion of markers in the excerpt I'm going to play for you now. I'll whet your appetite, and then if you want to find out what markers are, or I should say if you want to find out what I call markers, you may or may not already be familiar with this concept, you'll have to purchase the tutorial. Now, the next excerpt. Looking around is an important way of learning and reinforcing what you know. I'm going to conclude this section of the chapter by briefly discussing two concepts, somewhat related. One is patterns that you may see carried over from one website to another. The other is what I call markers. First, let's talk about patterns. Just a moment ago, I was saying that you should look around various websites as a part of your early learning. As you do, be on the lookout for patterns, for words or links with similar names that you may see on different websites. I'll give you an example. For the moment, it doesn't matter if you're going to be working with audio sites now. By that, I mean sites where you listen to audio, such as a radio station. But if you look at a number of these sites, you'll see that the links that you follow to listen to the audio very often have the word listen as part of the link. For example, you may find a link on a site that says listen to and then the name of the radio station live. Or you may find a link that just says listen live or some variation. You may find a link that says click here to listen. How can you use patterns like this? Suppose you went to the website of a radio station and you had never been to the site before and you didn't care about anything on the site except listening to the audio. Without spending any time looking at the site, if you searched for the word listen and repeated the search until you found what seemed like the most appropriate link and looked around the links for context if you need to, you could find the listen link very, very quickly. A lot of the time it will be obvious what the correct link or best link is. When you're searching down the page, if you find a link that says listen live or click here to listen live or something similar, that's almost certain to be the one you want. You generally won't have to look for context around a link like that. If your intention is to listen to a live stream of a radio station being broadcast over the internet as it broadcasts over the air, that's just about certain to be the link you want. Another pattern is that on a lot of websites, you'll see a link with the word contact as part of the link. The link likely will say contact us. So let's say that you went to a newspaper site and you wanted to send a letter to the editor. Or you wanted to find out how to reach some department or the business office of the paper for some reason. Without knowing anything about the site, if you're on the home page or any page containing navigation links, you can simply try searching the page for the word contact and you'll very likely find the sort of link I've been describing. If you're not on the home page and you can't find a contact link, then it might be a good idea to go to the home page to see if the link might be there, but not in the general navigation links. Here's another example. Let's say that you go to a newspaper site for the first time and you're on the home page and you want to read the editorials. You don't have to look through all the navigation links to find the one to the editorial section. Search for the word editorial, just E-D-I-T. If you don't find something, then go back to the top of the page and search for the word opinion. Just type O-P-I-N in the search. If that doesn't work, then try searching for commentary. Just type C-O-M-M in the search. Of course, go back to the top of the page first. Those are the most likely names of links where you'll find opinion articles. Of course, these techniques won't always work if a site uses an unusual or uncommon name for something, but knowing this sort of thing will save you a lot of time and effort. And as you look around websites, be on the lookout for the sorts of things that I've been describing and see if you find any patterns of your own that you find useful. That concludes the excerpts of the tutorial. Now a few closing comments. In addition to dealing with web page navigation in great detail, this tutorial also teaches you the basics of working with search engines. It teaches a very thorough and systematic method for filling out forms. If you've had problems filling out forms in the past, if you learn and use the method that I teach, filling out forms will generally be easy, or rather easy. Of course, the more experience you have and the more practice you get, the easier it will become. A troubleshooting section is included in the tutorial, and a section is included telling you where to get more help and where to get more information about various topics you may be interested in dealing with the internet. I include 20 minutes of free support. If you purchase my tutorial and you have problems using it or problems understanding something I teach, you can discuss it with me by phone. If the discussion takes 5 or 10 minutes, you'll still have 5 or 10 minutes of free support time left to discuss other matters at some later time. Or we can discuss things by email. I'll keep track of the amount of time I spend reading and answering your message, and when you reach the 20-minute limit, that's it. After that, you can still get support, but you'll have to pay something per session or per question. You probably won't need much support, if any, because of the clarity and thoroughness with which things are presented in the tutorial. Two things that make this tutorial stand out are, one, throughout the tutorial, I anticipate and discuss thoroughly matters that I think might be confusing to new users, or things that won't work properly unless they're done properly. For example, when I discussed the find command in WindowEyes, which you heard earlier. 2. I don't just teach you how to use web pages and work with them by applying formulas like use this command to move through a page or use these commands to move through a page. I teach you how to think about what's on a web page, how to look around effectively, and how to consider such aspects as context to determine why you see something on a web page and what you may be likely to see or find on a web page as you look around and why these things are there. Not looking around web pages and not considering context are two reasons that blind people have a lot of the problems they do when they use the internet. Now, once again, here is my contact information. My email address is gsasner@ripco.com. I'll be happy to answer questions you send me, and if you tell me you want to purchase the tutorial, I'll send you information about how to purchase it and how to speed delivery. Currently, the tutorial costs $40 if you get the CD-ROM version, and $45 if you get the cassette version. I hope you enjoyed listening to this sample. I hope you learned useful information from it, and I hope you like what you heard enough to seriously consider buying the tutorial. Goodbye for now, and I hope to hear from you.